Hey Miriam. Okay, so now we're going to talk about Neptune and Capricorn in the third house. And this is probably the video you watched when I was talking about Neptune in the third house. Well, you have Capricorn in the third house, and it gives it a different flavor. Capricorn in the third house with Neptune. You see, Capricorn is real trippy already. Like, Capricorn work hard for their money. They're like, work. That Rihanna song. Work. Like, that's you guys' like cape and theme song. You can work everybody under the table. Something always happens, though, to make you bitter in this area. You know, it seems like, it may seem to you like everybody else can say what they want to say and get away with it. But when you say something, everybody has something to say. Everybody, you know, people hold you at a high standard. You are an older energy. You're in this area, you are an old soul, you know? And so when you try to play with the kiddies and pretend like you're young and like happening and you know what, they be like, girl, that's not you. When you be like, I don't know, it's like, so it's kind of like they put a baby in a corner and you just kind of work in a corner and you just keep your mouth shut and you don't say nothing and you have this inner resentment and this grudge, and then the jealousy develops. The more you hold yourself back from expressing things in your way, it may be old-fashioned to people, but hell, it's you. Like, I don't want you to be a bitter Betty. And a lot of Capricornian energy becomes that. Like, just absolutely no fun. Because Capricorn, let's face it, isn't that fun anyway. And that's the cross to bear with being so disciplined and serious in this area. You know, a lot of people just like to chat, just to chat and talk, just to talk and gab, just to gab. And that's not you. That's not fulfilling to you. You don't understand why people are so stupid. You don't understand the foolishness. You know, the third house being ruled by Gemini, you put a kind of a cap on it, on the foolishness, you know. And when you're around, you kind of put a cap on everybody else too. So that's why they don't really want to. I mean, like, should we invite, what's her name? Like, you know, certain people. It's not everybody. But Capricorn tends to like to focus on the two people that are like the mean girls, and they feel outcasted, you know. But you know what? What you can do is lighten up and take it in stride, and don't take it so personal. And just realize, and even when it comes to your spirituality, there's a lot of people that have this newfangled idea that you can do whatever you want and kind of live a hedonistic lifestyle when it comes to spirituality. And honestly, you're not with that. And you might keep it to yourself so you can hang out in different like spiritual communities, but you're not really here for it, and you don't say nothing. And on because you know you can't get away with it. You know, when God has a calling on your life for a certain thing, I always put it like this. Different archetypes can do different things. And archetypes to me are different aspects of nature. And if you want to break it down to like Western societal terms, it's like the Matrix, you know. It's like archetypes are programs. And, you know, people say gods, goddesses. Those are archetypes. Those are principles of nature. And they function in a certain way, so that we can all live, breathe, eat, think, touch, feel, see. you know. And so your function as being the person that you are in this area with Neptune and Capricorn, it's going to be like the den mother spiritually. Like, you're going to keep everybody in check. Just be it. Just fall in line with how God made you, and you won't have to get bitter and like secretly want to sabotage people. But you're really, it'll be really your own doing, like being jealous and envious. And I know a lot of time with Neptune, spirit won't even let you go there anyway, so you end up internalizing everything, and your inner anger towards yourself for not being able to do what other people do, you know, is a waste of time and energy. It takes a lot of energy to get bitter. That's all. I mean, just say it takes up a lot of energy to continuously see things in a dark perspective. Lighten up, and even laugh at yourself. But do be yourself, though. Like, be yourself. No matter what, no matter if people get it, if people don't like it, be yourself. You have to deal with them. See, that's my attitude. I'll be like, y'all, I got to deal with y'all, so you are going to deal with me, okay? Like, all of me, just like this. And, you know, take it. You have more of a take it or leave it attitude. That's all I have to say. So we have Neptune and Capricorn, sextile Pluto and Scorpio. Oh my God, I'm excited. I am seeing the depth psychology here. I am feeling the archetypal instinctual energy coming up to be cleansed in the spiritual world. It's not even like coming out into the physical world in this aspect. It is inner work. It is inner mysticism. You know, it is people saying that I saw my angels, I saw my guides, people listening to the whisperings of the ancients, and, you know, waking up to tell the story to other people. It is Western civilization mixing with Eastern civilization. It's my life, you know. It's like, gives me life. It's what I wake up for in the morning. It's the oracle and everything that we see and feel around us. And it's the tearing down of the old way and values of thinking that the material world is the only place where we can find value in ourselves and in each other. It's the transformation of that BS. It's the ending of it and the beginning of the new age, coming into the wisdom that the ancient mystics, you know, spent their whole life with, because they spent life outside. They spent their lives outdoors studying the stars and studying the world around them. And it's us getting back in touch with this energy, because Neptune and Pluto are generational planets. And so with this aspect, it's not just you experiencing this. It is a collective consciousness. It's a collective movement that's happening. And it's been going on for a while. It started a while ago. You know, maybe I wasn't alive. But according to what I read, it really started to pick up steam in like the 70s, 60s, 70s, you know, in the 80s. I'm not quite sure what happened in the 90s. I don't know, but it's right. But right now, oh, yes, 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 and yes. It's the chakra clearings, and then I'm not saying that this is a easy thing to feel, experience, and go through. It's definitely trippy, but it's about getting in touch with the magic of the universe that we are enveloped in. You know, it's getting in touch with the great goddess within us all and allowing her to live and breathe and have her being. It's the acknowledgement of it. And you know how the universe is. When you make a step towards it, it makes a step towards you. And I'm seeing unification. And I, you know, I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, whoa. Like, when you actually think about what's really going on here in our society right now, it is magical. What I feel and what I see happening right now, looking at these two aspects, is that eventually we will be unified in allowing everyone to let the Christ consciousness into their life. You know, the reason why we are all fighting so hard, we're fighting for spirit. You know, we're fighting for spirit. We're not here for the BS in society anymore. You know, we think we're fighting for race, sex, gender, but we're really fighting for spirit world to be able to come through and live within us and live amongst us. Okay, so now we are going to hit upon the Neptune trine. Chiron. Oh, whoa. So, what we're going to do here is use your fantasy world of being in charge. You know, you fantasize about being in charge, honey. Like, you're like the boss in your fantasies. You're the greatest boss. Everybody listens to you. Everybody does what you say. You know you do. I can see it right here in your chart. But that can is actually going to help you heal your Chiron in Virgo in 11th house. You know, you have a fear, those fears that plague you, that everybody's looking at you like you're different and you're the outcast. And all you want to do is be everybody's friend, you know. That's not the case. You know, Virgo can kind of lay it on thick when it comes to the victimization role. You know, like the woe is me, the sympathy. Because the truth is, you would love to rule for everybody to do what you say. Because you know, you think you know from your perspective that, you know, how everybody should heal. You're a healer. You are an artist. You are a musician. And you love holistic healing. And you're not the type that will use high-tech technology to help people heal. You want to learn the most natural, ancient, like the old-fashioned way of healing. And old-fashioned and spirituality will be ancient. So you use natural ways to heal. And, I mean, you can use dancing to heal your Chiron. Virgo, anything that will take you out of the physical realm, like you can use your fantasies. Your fantasies can help you heal. I think that's pretty freaking cool. I think it's awesome. Role playing can help. You know, where you're the caretaker and you're the queen and everybody bow down to you and you use your magic and you use your spiritual wisdom. Working with your spiritual guides is something that you can use to help you heal as well. Mm-hmm. Your fantasy is that you're like a spiritual guru and everybody listens to all of your wisdom. And that is actually what you may be evolving into. And what's so interesting is gender and society, because in our society, women, even in the spiritual clubs, I don't know what to call them, the guys are get to be called gurus, and the women are healers and witches and tarot readers, and but we don't ever get a chance to like really lead kind of, I want to say, congregation, like in church, you know? So that would be very innovative for you to develop that part of yourself. The goddess energy really needs that. It needs to rise up and balance out the society that's haywire. It is haywire. It's gone. We have gone mad. We're crazy. We're crazy to think that we can live without spirit, to think that we can live without healing. Oh my phone is going. It's taking over. Let me turn my sound off. Thank you, phone. Appreciate you. Okay. Right. You are a spiritual shaman. And with all the ways that you are healing yourself and the depths that your psyche goes into the spirit world and the power that you'll gain from going on your shamanic journey is a fantasy. It's your mythology hero's journey, you know? And you can use that to help you heal. Like, you can even look at your name, Miriam, which is an offshoot and correspondent to the name Mary. And you look at the mythological story of the Virgin Mary and see if that applies to your life and your journey. You know, being a very pure person and having to face ridicule in a very public way, people not believing her, but she's still carrying this Christ consciousness. So it's like, you can't carry Christ consciousness, you're a woman, you know? That is not true. You know, I was thinking, I was like, people who criticize and even people in authority, they are not the universe. You do not have to listen to them. You do not have to do what they say. You don't have to follow their rules. And you can tap into your spirit guides and be protected, you know. And that's why it's important for you to have a healthy spiritual almost, if not a disciplined yogi like regimen for yourself. Because of spirit's plan for your and for your destiny, you really need to stay close to the spirit world, because it's really easy because of your ascendant and all of the Mars energy from your south node, and even all the stuff in your first house, the magnetism you have that attracts you to just wanting to fit in, you know, because it's hard to stand out and then be rejected. It would be cool if you stood out and everybody understood you. So you really need to create a bond in your fantasy world and use that to heal your wounds. I think that's awesome. I think that is doable. What do you think? Okay, so now we're going to talk about Neptune in opposition to your midheaven, which is in Cancer. I can see how this can be one of the more prevalent hard aspects in your chart, because it has to do with family, your father, your career, who you want to show yourself to be in your career and the community and what you have had to deal with at home in opposition to it, you know. I'm seeing a theme in your chart about possibly your father or authority figure having mental illness and not really being able to be there for you in your life to take care of you, and you having to take care of yourself. And in saying that, that is really unfair for someone who can't take care of you in the way you need to try to control you in any way to tell you who you are in the world and how to take care of yourself. You need to find a way to have some peace in your life. You need to be able to trust yourself. With Neptune in opposition to midheaven, you really can't trust the people that you have looked up to as a child who are an authority in your life. You have to learn to trust yourself. And in order for you to do that, you may need some space, some separation. Not forever, but for a period of time until you've had time to nurture yourself into a woman that trusts her instincts and is able to cope with life's challenges and your emotions. Their weaknesses don't have to be your weaknesses, you know. Growing up with our parents, we don't have a choice. Their issues become our issues. And it's because of a karmic bond, you know. But as their children, our karmic responsibility is to take those challenges and turn them into our evolution and growth. And that's where you will become an example of a woman who has strong psychic and intuitive abilities of her own. You won't have to look on the outside of you for validation and approval for what you want to do in your life. This aspect will also have you looking to not just your the authority figures that you grew up to, but then you'll start to look for the love you never got in relationships with people, and you'll find that you will encounter the same issues over and over again. You know, running into those types of relationships, although they may be comfortable at first, you know, and you might feel good at first, they're going to stunt your growth and stop you from developing your own inner authority in your life. And I know it hurts and it creates a very sensitive place, like a sensitive spot in your life, and it leaves you open and vulnerable, you know? But it's good to be aware of your vulnerabilities, because there's nothing wrong with having vulnerabilities. I just don't want other people to see those vulnerabilities and take advantage of that. You know, your helpful, loving, caring nature. And you don't have to care for everyone in order to be loved. As an adult, you know, as an adult in relationships with other adults, everyone is to carry their own load according to the agreement of the relationship. You have a psychic bond with your father or the authority figures in your life. And so without even questioning, you know, if what they think about you or what they want you to do is even right for you as a child, you are caught up in the archetypal waters, you know, of being bonded with your parents, and you just went with the energies. But you don't have to continue to do that. You know, you can start asking questions, even if it's not out loud, just on the inside, to yourself. Privately, be like, okay, when somebody questions you about something you want to do, you know, and also another point is to, you know, keep your plans to yourself. Keep what you are planning to do with your life and direction you want to go in to yourself until it's more full grown and people aren't able to tear it down. Our careers and purpose and growth can start off as a seedling, it starts off as a seed, and then we think about it, and then we make a decision. Okay, this is the direction we go in. We want to go in, and then we get excited, and then we want to tell everybody, even people who aren't necessarily the safest people to tell, and sometimes that's our parents or people we grew up with. We want to ideally be able to talk to those people about who we really are and what we're discovering, you know? But part of your soul growth is developing discernment in that area. Sometimes you have to keep those things to yourself. You know, keep those things to yourself so that nobody can tear it down. I was using the example of a seedling. You know, people can take your little seedling and trample all over it. You tell people who are going to help nurture that seed. And that may not be what you're used to. Because also, when it comes to family, and our ideals, you know, we can get kind of used to being disappointed, and we will run in that direction, even though it's not good for us. And then somebody may come along who's encouraging and helpful and supportive, and we won't know what to do with that person. We know we should talk to that person and let that person in, but we don't. You know, we feel unworthy of that. You know, so it will be a challenge. That's another thing. Another challenge would be to be open with people who have that a strength that you don't have, you know, who have the strength to believe in themselves and who are independent in the direction that their life is going in. They will give you the strength and the encouraging words. They don't have any ties to you as far as like psychological issues. You know, you gotta weed those people out. Maybe one day after you get finished doing what you want to do with your life, or you develop yourself to a certain point, you'll be able to reach back and help heal, you know. But really, you'll heal by your example of moving on and being free. And it can feel like abandonment to your family and to friends. But everything in life always comes back around full circle. Most of the time, people are never really gone for good, you know. Even if there's a falling out, people will call you and look back at that time and be like, oh, now I see you needed to do this. After they see who you become and see your smiling face and see the God in you that you have allowed to develop and come out, because it seems like in your soul growth, what's trying to be developed is a deep psychic, spiritual connection to the Creator, to Goddess energy, so that you can be strong enough to be able to give a message to the world about healing and compassion. And you need your time and your space to develop yourself so that you can be able to do that. Because if you don't allow that, then you'll be reincarnated back where you stopped growing, you know? And you can do it. There are things that'll build you up, and there are things that'll tear you down. You have to choose the things that are going to build you up. You'll get used to it more and more every day. It has to be part of your spiritual practice for you to just cut out the psychic junk food, almost. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but that means the people and places and habits have to begin to be purged and transformed, you know, into something that is more of a mirror of what you're trying to become. And that concludes my reading for you. I hope that I've given you a good amount of information, encouragement, strength, awareness, and hope so that you can move on into the next phases of your life. Again, I would like to say that I'm always here, and if there's anything I missed or anything you would like for me to look up with this reading, just please email me, or I saw you added me on Snapchat, or yes, or Facebook. And I also do spiritual counseling. I do tarot readings as well. I'm a healer just like you, and I understand the process, like me even being on YouTube and stuff. It took me a long time to put myself out there. Like, my family doesn't look up to me for who I really am. So a lot of your chart, and I could relate to the soul growth, the evolution, and doing your chart actually helped to trigger things in me. And it wasn't necessarily super easy for me to stay in that space and write, because I'm going through my own transformation as well. So I am right along with you. I hope that you're having a good day. And again, thank you so much for reaching out. And I hope to hear from you soon.